All right, take your Bibles now and turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Our subject this morning, the results of the first sin. Now, as I've said before, we're going to say again, if you go astray in the book of Genesis, you go astray in the entire Bible. It's the seed plot of every doctrine that's found in the Word of God. And therefore, we need to know this book, and we need to understand it more than ever before. In Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 down through verse 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, thou dost know the seriousness of this hour, the inability of the human vessel, the depravity of the human heart, the opposition of the evil one, and so, Lord, we invoke thy blessing upon us. Give us listening ears and attentive minds, and send forth thy word in might and power, and unlock these hearts that need to know thee. Cause them, Lord, to hear, because if thou dost not open their ears, they'll never hear a word that from thee at all. So we pray, do thy mysterious work today, of convicting, convincing, and converting unto thyself. Strengthen thy children as only thou art able. Forgive us where we fail thee. And Lord, work out thy purpose here for thy glory. We ask now in Christ's name. Amen. Our subject this morning, the results of the first sin. Now the world today, as you know, like I do, is in a terrible situation because of sin. Sickness, disease, death, and depravity is the rule of life at this hour. No one seems to be able to do anything about these problems that face mankind at this very time. Evolution, science, philosophy, and religion cannot answer these problems. Now, the only answer there is found in the Word of God. And the answer for these problems is that man has become something he originally was not. Now, you and I need to understand that. We hear today that man was made in the image of God. He was. But man today does not have God's image like he had in the Garden of Eden, and we better understand that. Man today is a totally depraved, fallen creature under the Lord God of heaven, and we find very clearly that man will do everything he can to keep from being saved if it's possible. Now, some of you here today, believe it or not, you've heard enough gospel in this church to convert the entire world if they just believe it. And some of you here today, you have sat here for year after year after year, and you're still not converted. Now, you have no one to blame but yourself. Don't you forget that. I don't know what the excuses are that keep you from coming to Christ, but they have to be something. Because our Lord is ready, willing, and able to save all that come unto God by Him. And He tells us very clearly that today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. And if God's time for you is now, then you ought to be saved before you leave this room this morning. Now, you should. Now, mankind today has fallen into sin. Evolution is just the opposite of the Bible. Evolution says that man started at the bottom, and now he's crawling his way to the top. But he'll never get there. Evolution is absolutely wrong. Man started at the top, but he fell to the bottom. And today we're going to share with you again these three things, and then we're going to show you, because our lesson today falls into these two categories. First of all, we're going to look at the fall and mankind, and then we are going to look at the fall and God. Now, we won't get done, I know that, but that's all right. We'll just quit and go home and come back next week. And I hope that you'll study and take some notes, because you need to know these things, for people today don't understand. First of all, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, I'm going to repeat it again today for emphasis' sake. Man broke all the moral law. Now, the moral law, you know. You read it in Sunday school this morning. Exodus chapter 20. There's the Ten Commandments. Man today tries to keep the Ten Commandments. He can't keep them because he's born in this world a transgressor. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, Adam broke all Ten Commandments. Now, what did he do? Well, first of all, number one, he chose another god. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Secondly, he made a graven image, and the image that Adam began to worship was his own stomach. He made a god of his own belly. So he broke the first two commandments there. Thirdly, he took God's name in vain when he despised the threat that God gave him, because God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He took God's name in vain, and then he broke the Sabbath rest in the garden by transgressing the law. Fifth, he did this. He dishonored his father. And sixth, he brought death on the human race. Seventh, he commits spiritual adultery. And eighth, he stole that which was not his. Ninth, he bore false witness against God. And tenth, he coveted that which God had not given him. Now, there's the Ten Commandments that Adam broke. Therefore, you and I were in Adam. So you and I are born in this world a transgressor. Now here you see how silly and how foolish it is for some people to try to come along and say, well, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments, and therefore God's not going to have much against me because I'm doing my best. It doesn't work that way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when Adam sinned, you and I were in Adam. So you and I were born in this world a total lawbreaker before God. Now, if we're born that way, how in the world can we have appeasement with the Lord God of heaven? The only way there can be is through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, man not only broke the Ten Commandments, but man also, in the Garden of Eden, when he fell mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Now, this is the condition of mankind today. Mentally, he cannot perceive spiritual things. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I had you read that this morning for this benefit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look with me at verse 14. This is what it said. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. All right, now I'm going to stop right here and show where you fit in. Man today is mentally off base. He cannot perceive the spiritual things of God. Now, many of you here today, you never sit down and read your Bible. You know why? When you do start reading it, you don't understand it. Instead of putting the blame on yourself where it ought to be, you blame the Bible. You say point blank, well, I just can't understand that. That's just a bunch of words to me. And so you quit reading it. All right, you verified the fact that you're mentally off base. A believer understands God's Word. And are you listening? A believer delights to read God's Word because they understand it. Oh, they don't understand it all at once. Of course not. We're continually understanding it. But we understand what God says in His blessed book. And I'll tell you something else. It means something to the believer. Two things a true believer will do. Number one, that believer will pray. And number two, that believer will read the Word of God. And if you're not doing both of them, then you better begin to find out if you've actually ever come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You see, man cannot understand spiritual things. He has fallen mentally. Secondly, his emotions are affected also. Now turn to the book of Romans, if you will, in Romans chapter 1, and look with me at verse 24 down through verse 28. Listen to what it says. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now we'll stop right here. What do you have here? God's indictment on homosexuality and lesbianism. Now you better understand it. Homosexuality and lesbianism is man abusing his own body. Now God never meant for men to have relationship with each other. God never meant for women to have relationship with each other. God meant for man and woman to have relationship with each other when they get married. And we need to put that down. And today it seems to be the uncommon thing instead of the common thing. Man's acting like an animal, and I'll tell you why. His emotions are out of joint. He fell in the Garden of Eden. He abuses his body because his mind is out of whack. He cannot understand spiritual things, and therefore he also abuses his body because he's walking in the vanity of his mind. Thirdly, man also is spiritually under the power of the devil. You don't belong to yourself here today. You're not the captain of your own soul. The devil is, until the Lord Jesus Christ controls you. And you need to put it down. You are a prisoner of Satan. Spiritually, you're blind. Spiritually, you're in Satan's prison. Spiritually, you're in the kingdom of darkness. You can't get out. How in the world did you get in that situation? You were born that way. It's the result of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Adam being our federal head, he represented us. So therefore, we were in Adam, and we are as guilty as he is. Thirdly, we are fourthly, I should say, man is also under a death sentence. Now, people today continually die. The cemeteries are always being filled up. I had a funeral last week, or I think, or a week before last, I should say, and I had to drive down to the White Chapel down there in Troy. That great big place. I'll tell you, they got a mausoleum there that puts a many a church to shame. It's beautiful. It's made of marble, colored marble. They got beautiful lights in there, and they've got a beautiful furniture in there. And I'll tell you right now, they've got one of the largest and most beautiful pipe organs I've ever seen or heard, and it's all dedicated to the dead. Now that's what it is. Dedicated to the dead. You go into that beautiful marble building and they got a chapel there, and then you look on each side and you see names up there and a marble plate and a name in it, and if you pull that plate out, there's nothing in there but dead men's bones. Now how come? Man continually dies. Evolution can't answer the death question. Science can't answer the death question. Even religion can't answer the death question. But God's Word answers it. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Why? Because God's threat is carried out. In the day that thou eatest thereof, he told Adam and Eve, thou shalt surely die. And when Adam sinned, sin entered into the world, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. Everybody here is going to die unless the Lord Jesus Christ come after us first. Now, are you ready? You're not ready if you don't know Christ. But here's the results of sin. Man broke the Ten Commandments. Man also fell mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Then, thirdly, man lost his covering and is now a naked creature. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3, if you will, and let me show you something that you haven't seen before. In Genesis chapter 3, we find in verses 6 and 7, we read these words. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now hold your seat if you will. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, he lost that beautiful garment of glory that he was clothed with when God made him. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, let me read you this, if I may, because it's worth repeating. Man was clothed with glory and honor originally, and was made to have dominion over the works of God's hands. Man was not without effulgence shining from them and around them, which wrapped them in a radiant and translucent robe, and in a certain lovely way obscured their outlines. All nature is splendidly covered, and they bowed down to Adam and Eve as vice-regents of God. To the spiritual sense, there is a hint of something about our first parents that impressed and overawed the animal creation. Well, what was it? It was the shining forth as the sun, which in like manner will describe the body that we shall have in the resurrection. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 104 and listen to what I'm driving at. In Psalm 104, we find this is what it says. Listen to it. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire. Now let's stop right there. Who coverest Thyself as with a garment. Notice, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment. Now hold your seat. You remember what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? You remember the Lord Jesus stood there and all of a sudden His garments became glistering and white as snow? Well, let me tell you something. That's what man was like before man fell. You see, God has covered everything in His creation with the exception of man. Man's the only creature that's born in this world naked. Man's the only creature in this world that stays naked without having clothing put upon him from the outside. Now, how come? It's a testimony of God to the reality that man is a completely depraved, fallen creature. You see, the result of man's sin was this. He lost his beautiful garment. Now, in the resurrection, we're going to have a beautiful body. It'll be like that of the Lord Jesus. And we find in Luke chapter 20, if you will, turn to it, and verse 36, you'll see that the Lord Jesus tells us we're going to be like the angels in heaven. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 36, Jesus said these words, "Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." Well, now, what were the angels like? Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 24 and listen to what it says in verse 2, or verse 1 through 4, I should say. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." Isn't that plain? The angels aren't naked. The only thing that's naked in God's creation today is mankind. And the reason? Man lost that beautiful garment, that effulgence that came from him as a vice-regent of God. Man lost that when he sinned in the Garden of Eden, and man today has become a fallen, naked creature before God. This is the result of sin. Now turn again, if you will, to Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 3, and let me put the climax to it, if I may. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, notice what it says. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Here you have the Lord Jesus. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending His own Son," listen now, "in the likeness of sinful flesh." Now, do you understand me? In other words, the Lord Jesus was made in the likeness of sinful flesh like you and I are at this hour. Yet he had no sin. The reason? Man had fallen in the Garden of Eden. And the result of it was this, that when the Lord Jesus came, he had to come and God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that you and I, through Christ, might live forever. Now, here you have the results of sin. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 3 again. We're still not through. Another result of sin is found here. Not only did man lose his covering, not only did he break the Ten Commandments, but we find also that man fell morally, spiritually, mentally, and physically. And we find then, man also did this. His complete outlook changed. What are you talking about? Well, we find that man tried to cover up and justify his condition. You know why you won't take the blame? Because of your sin in Adam. Preacher, what are you talking about? Nobody will take the blame until God gets a hold of them. Did you know that? Now, their man's the same way that Adam was after he fell. In Genesis chapter 3, look at it if you will, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now notice what he did right here. He used that which he made to justify his condition. Now, the one reason some of you here aren't saved here today at this hour, at this reason, this is your reason. You know what it is? You're not taking the blame. Down in your head, so to speak, oh yes, I'm a lost sinner. But that's as far as it goes. Down deep in your own soul, you still haven't admitted it. And I'm going to tell you this. God will not save you until you stand before Him absolutely naked and undone. Now, I'm not talking about physical nakedness either. You're going to stand there spiritually naked. You see, man tries to justify his condition. Well, I'm not the biggest sinner that ever lived. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're the biggest sinner that ever walked in shoe leather. Preacher, I don't believe you. That's your problem. As long as you think you have some goodness, put it down. You're not ready to be converted. You're like Adam and Eve. What are you trying to do? You try to cover up your condition. Some people do it by religion. That's why religion today is very popular. You talk to the Mohammedans today and you ask them point blank, where do you stand with regard to say, he was a prophet, but Muhammad is a greater prophet. And Muhammad is their God. And their God is a faith. You can go to anybody, any religion across the world. What is it? It's man's attempt to justify himself by trying to cover up his nakedness and his sin by his own works. Now, you don't get saved by your own works. Even the faith by which you believe is a faith that God puts in your heart and gives to you by His grace. And every true believer knows that. Because when you stand before God, you'll stand before Him an unbeliever and also unable to believe. And you will cry out unto the Lord, Lord, give me the faith to believe because I can't without it. Now this is a result of sin. But now I want you to notice something else. He used a fig leaf. People make fun of fig leaves today. But I want to tell you very kindly in Matthew chapter 21 and verses 18 and 19, you don't have to turn to it, but we find the fig tree was the only tree that the Lord Jesus Christ cursed while he was here on this earth. Now why? Showing very clearly that every work of man in an attempt to justify his condition and in an attempt to satisfy God, every work of man is under God's curse. Setting forth also, there's only one way, and that's God's way. Now, are you going to come God's way? Or are you going to come your own way? You're not going to get that. Because there's only one road to heaven. And that's through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one more thing that happened to man. What is that? Again, Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 8 and 9. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Now notice, here's the last thing that happened to man. Man's change occurred at once. Not only did they know they were naked, but immediately there came into their being a dread of God. People today dread God. They don't want to be around the Lord. The shallower the ministry, the more popular it is. The more true the ministry, the harder it is to get people to listen. And that's true. There's a dread of God. Secondly, there was a hardening of the heart in an attempt to hide. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. There was a hardening of heart in attempt to hide. Thirdly, there was a self-justification and a challenging of God. Preacher, where do you find that? Verse 12. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. You see, he didn't take the blame. He blamed the woman, but more than that, he blamed God because he challenged him. And how many times today, when the Spirit of God is at work in the hearts of individuals, what will take place? We find something will come in, and immediately they'll take that as a challenge, and they'll rise up against it in anger, just like Adam did. Here's the result of the sin. Thirdly, there was a breach of affection. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Again, verse 12. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The woman, in other words, he blamed her. He wasn't going to take the blame. No, sir. He blamed her. And she, in turn, blamed Satan. When in reality, they were both absolutely wrong. Because they were not compelled, follow me now, they were not compelled to sin. As I said before, I'll say again, Adam was the only one that ever had a free will. He could sin, or he could choose not to sin. You and I today don't have a free will. Man's will today is under the domination of his sin nature. And the sin nature of man rules his will until and unless God gets a hold of him, and then the Spirit of God will rule his nature, but there is always a struggle. And that's where that struggle is all about. The old nature wants to continue to rule, and the Spirit of God says, No, I'm going to rule, and there's that struggle back and forth. And that's why Romans 7 becomes a living reality to every true believer. Then we find also, not only was there a breach of affection, but we find in verse 16, Unto the woman God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth thy first children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then in verse 17, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And what do you have here? You have physical suffering and death. You women today that have given birth to children, I wonder how you would have fared if you would have been in a heathen country where there's no relief to be given you. I was going to say antiseptic, but it's more than that. It's not that. It's something else, isn't it? But you know what I'm talking about. When my wife gave birth to her first son, we find she was almost half asleep. They gave her something to get in the pain and help put her to sleep. And she had a comparatively easy time of it because of modern-day medicine. But why is there pain in childbirth? Because of sin. Here's the results of the fall. There's not only physical suffering, but there is also death. And death today reigns over this earth, and it will continue to reign until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and redeems it completely. Now there's one more thing. Man fell. He fell. How far down did he fall? Well, let me show you. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 2 for just a moment. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse 22. Peter says these words in verse 21 and 2. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And what do you have here? I'll tell you, the last aspect of man's fall was this. Man fell to the level of animals. Even lower than the animals. Even lower. They tell me these great Canadian geese that fly overhead and you see them, they're beautiful birds. They tell me that they mate with each other for life. When one mate is gone, the other one doesn't last very long because they die of grief and loneliness and sorrow. They won't mate with somebody else. Mankind today is worse than the animal. And today we have also taught in our schools by the so-called teachers. They teach evolution and they tell our boys and girls that man came from an animal. It's no wonder they began to act like one. No wonder at all. Well, man didn't come from an animal. Man started at the top and he plunged to the bottom. And man today is a totally, absolutely, eternally depraved creature unless and until God get a hold of him and save him by sheer sovereign grace. Now, I've described your condition. Some of you may not like it. But if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your condition. And before you get saved, you're going to come to acknowledge it. And you're also going to abhor it. And you're going to come to cry out against it and beg the Lord God of heaven to change. Now, how does this come about? Well, turn back again, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. And let me show you another aspect of our lesson today. We want to look now at the fall and God. How was God affected by the fall? Well, two things stand out. I'm only going to touch on them because my time's almost gone. And I just get started and I have to quit. There's just so much here. And I'm glad I don't have to meet a deadline that I have to get through with this lesson at such and such a time. But we can stop and pick up next week where we leave off. And I hope you're the same category. Now notice, if you will, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now let's stop right there. Here you have the fall and God. Now number one, hold your seat and pay close attention. The fall of Adam and Eve in the garden was the carrying out of the plan and purpose of God, and yet God cannot be charged with sin. Now the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden carried out God's purpose. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to show you. There was no surprise here with God when Adam fell. He knew it was coming. And not only that, I'm going to say it very kindly. He ordained it that way, and yet God cannot be charged with sin. You see, you can never charge God with sin. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, who forced Adam and Eve to sin? Nobody. Who forced them to listen to Satan? Nobody. Adam was a free willer. He's the only free willer there ever was. The rest of mankind today is a slave of sin. Or we are a servant of Christ. One or the other. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18 down through verse 20. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. Here you have God's plan and purpose. Preacher, what do you mean? Before God ever made this world, God had planned all this out. Now why? So that God would get more glory than out of just providence and creation. You see, we are saved to the praise of the glory of God's grace. Don't ever get away from that. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we find very clearly Christ was foreordained as the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. How come? God knew they were going to sin. And it was part of His plan and purpose because, you see, God was going to break good out of evil. And that's what He's still doing. Then, the criminality of man's sin is wholly man's and not God's. And don't you ever get away from it. The criminality of your sin and mine is ours. It's not God's. Turn back to James chapter 1 for just a moment. Let's go back a couple of pages in your Bible. In James chapter 1, look at verse 13 and 14 and 15 where it says these words. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. You get that? Now let it soak in. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, here's exactly what happened. It happened in the Garden of Eden. You see, the criminality of man's sin cannot be laid at God's door. It's laid at man's door. You and I are responsible for our sin. Don't you forget it. And we see very clearly in the Garden of Eden, we see God's plan and purpose being carried out. Then, we find also God's call. Go back to Genesis 3:8 for a minute and look at it. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, the Scripture says these words, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now what do you have here? You have here the call of divine judgment. The call of divine justice? Yes. God knew. Hold your seat now. God knew. When Adam and Eve sinned, He was watching it take place. And we find, what do you have here? The call of divine justice. God cannot overlook or condone sin. He said very clearly, He is the Lord God of mercy and righteousness and goodness, and He will by no means clear the guilty. Now you folks that are here without Christ here today, whether you're young or old or middle-aged or elderly, do you think you're going to get away with your sin? Do you think that you're going to stand before God one day without the robe of righteousness wrought by Jesus Christ at Calvary? Do you think God's going to approve you? No way! God knows everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, and He knows exactly what's going to happen to you. Now, He's brought you here because of mercy. But you have in the Garden of Eden the call of divine justice. Where art thou, sinner? That's what God is doing. We find very clearly the searching out of Adam and Eve by the Lord God. And remember now, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, looking for them. And they tried to hide from God. And we see what happened with Adam and Eve is prophetic of what will happen someday to every individual in this room here if you don't come to know Christ. That's why it's imperative to know the Lord. That's why it's needful for you to be converted. That's why you must come to Christ as a poor lost sinner. Because that's what you are. There's nothing else. We see here the call of divine justice. God cannot overlook or condone sin. The searching out of Adam and Eve is prophetic of what every individual faces, because Romans 14 says, every one of us must give account of himself unto God. You're not going to give account for your wife, or your husband, or your children, or your neighbors, or your relatives. You're going to give an account for yourself. Every individual is going to give an account of himself or herself. No other way. This is the call of divine justice. And we find very clearly, this is also the situation of every individual here without Christ. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, Adam and Eve were in this kind of a condition. Number one, they were guilty. Number two, they were naked. Number three, they were ashamed. Number four, they were defiant. Number five, they were helpless. Number six, they were condemned. And number seven, they were at God's disposal. And that's the number of completion. And every person here in this room, you're guilty before God. You're naked before God. Yes, you're defiant before God. Why haven't you come to Christ? I'll tell you, your rebellion's not broken yet. You're defiant before Him. Then you're helpless. You can't change your condition. You're condemned. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Every sinner is under the condemnation of sin. Death has come by sin. Every sinner without Christ is helpless. And every sinner without Christ is condemned. And I'm going to tell you again, every sinner without Christ is at God's disposal. Now let me stop right here for a moment. These free willers today that come along and they say, oh, now you know, God's done everything He could for you. Now you've got to accept the Lord Jesus. Now wait a minute. Did you find that here with Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve were the first pair that I believe God clothed with a garment. And I'll bring that out next week. But how did they do that? Did they stand to accept or reject Christ and then God couldn't do anything about it? Not according to the Scripture. They stood there before the Lord in this category. They were even defiant. And then I want you to notice in verse 21 of Genesis 3, look what happened. Here we find, not did Adam and Eve accept Jesus, but notice in verse 21, unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and what? He clothed them. No works at all involved. Setting forth beyond a shadow of a doubt that salvation is all of God. It's all of grace. And it's by grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now let me close. Do you know Christ today? Now I've described your condition if you're a sinner. This either is your condition or this was your condition when you stood before God and He clothed you. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Guilty? Naked? Ashamed? Defiant? Helpless? Condemned? And at God's disposal? And that's the way we stood before Him when He saved us. Now, if God's never shown you to be this category, my hope is He'll do it today. Because this is what you are. Now, you can walk out of here and you can shake your head and you can throw off the impressions that are made during this hour together. All right, it just proves one thing. You're defiant. You see, here's the necessity of redemption. There's only one way. That's God's way. And hold your seat now. Your experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it is, has got to correspond with that which is set forth in God's Word, or else your experience is wrong. God doesn't have a dozen different ways to save a sinner. He has one way. It's His way. Have you come to Him? Has he ever found you out? Is he finding you out today? If he is, it's grace. It's grace. Then recognize that he's provided a covering, and that covering is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here you have the explanation of the human race, sin, and you have the folly of human efforts to gain redemption. Now, which way are you going to go? Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life eternal. And few there be that find. Has God set you on the right way? Has he saved you? If he hasn't, let me urge you to do this. Sue for mercy. That's all you can do. Don't try to clean up your life. You can't do it. Don't try to get legalistic and drive a bunch of laws. You can't do it. Won't do you any good. You've got to come God's way. There's only one hope for you. You sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you are the sinner. And you don't stop suing until he answers, no matter how long or short it may be. Shall we stand? Our Father, this morning we thank Thee for the lesson that You've shown us again. Now, Lord, that every one of us need Thee, and we praise Thee, that there is no other way but Thy way. We thank Thee, Lord, that salvation is of grace, and it's all of Thee, and how marvelous Thou art. And as we've looked this morning at the results of sin, Lord, that's every one of us. None are accepted. And our God, we pray, have mercy where mercy is needed. Thank You, Lord, for having mercy on this sinner. And thank You for clothing me with that robe of righteousness. And all I pray, Lord, do the same thing to these in our midst that need Thee. All speak to their hearts indelibly, as You did to Adam and Eve. And then will You not clothe them with Thy salvation? We ask it for Thy glory. Amen.